do you approve or disapprove of the job performance of President Obama? Congress as a whole? The different parties in Congress? Our senators and our U.S. representatives? We polled state residents on these questions in the Wisconsin survey that we conduct with the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. And the results are in. And we will discuss them with you during this half hour of the show. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're tuned to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 6:37 on this Wednesday, October 23rd. Plus, we'll carry over some of our discussion from the last half hour on the most important problem facing the nation. According to our survey, it's government dysfunction. Do you agree? Our survey analyst, Wendy Scattergood, stays with us, and she will help us understand these numbers and the issues behind the numbers, and we will welcome your opinions on these questions too. 1-800-642-1234. Do you think any of our elected representatives in Washington are doing a good job? Why or why not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. And we have found the results, too. They are on WPR.org. And Cynthia Schuster is also putting them on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And I believe she put them on Twitter as well. So check them out. We will be talking about these survey results this morning through 8 o'clock and tomorrow morning from 6 until 8, different aspects of the survey. So we hope you will continue to stay tuned and join in. Let's welcome back Wendy Scattergood, Assistant Professor of Political Science at St. Norbert College in De Pere, an associate at the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute, and our analyst for these Wisconsin surveys. Well, just a recap, Wendy, for those listeners just joining us. When we say that our survey says government dysfunction is the number one problem facing the nation, what does that mean?
Well, there was a lot of stuff in there that I put in. Mostly it was that they can't get along, they can't negotiate. When we look at some of the other specific national things, we're seeing a lot of that they definitely want Congress and the president to negotiate and to compromise. A lot of people were saying either it's the president is the biggest problem or the Republicans in Congress are the biggest problem. So kind of all of those are in that category.
Yeah, we had a caller just before news, but we had news, who said it's money and politics. Does that show up in that area?
Definitely. And actually, you know, we're going to talk about state issues tomorrow, but that actually came up more specifically in the state's biggest problem.
Ah, all right. So we'll talk more about that. Mike on Facebook says, corporate control of our government. People need to vote. John writes on Facebook, radical politicians are gerrymandered in pushing the parties further apart, making compromise harder and harder to obtain. Corporate money and the love of their office sways politicians more than their constituents' voices. We have a lot of comments like that on Facebook, so that kind of goes along with the theme here.
Yeah, absolutely. We saw a lot of that both at the state and the national level, and we did see specifically a couple of people talking about the redistricting issues.
Yeah. Well, so we also asked about job performance of our elected officials. We'll talk about the national elected officials during this half hour, state officials in the legislature tomorrow. So what do we think? Do we think President Obama's doing a good job or not?
Sort of. And that is, his approval rating right now is 48%, so it's just under 50% at this point. And that's kind of at the high end of what the national polls are. The range during the time that we were surveying for the national polls was 43% to 48%. And that, you know, the Gallup daily tracking showed that after, you know, he saw kind of a couple percentage increase in his approval rating, but it's significantly down. The high for President Obama was actually 60%, and that was right at the beginning of the honeymoon period of his first term at 60% in the spring of 2009. It's not his low point, actually. The low point for our survey was the fall of 2010 at 42%, and, of course, that was right before that 2010 midterm election. where we had such a big changeover in the majorities for Wisconsin.
Right. So what does under 50% approval rating for a president generally does not bode well for the president's party during midterms?
No, it typically does not. And that's typically what we see anyways, is that the president's party in midterm elections tends to lose seats. Also, what we find is that in a president's second term, they are not generally as popular as they were overall in their first term as well. So it's, what we're seeing here is not that unusual. And also that, of course, we were in the field for the most part during the shutdown. So everybody sort of was hit by that, I think, in their approval ratings. It'll be interesting to see what we find out in spring to see if there's a difference there.
All right. So the president gets a 48% approval rating in the survey. What about Congress? I'm assuming Congress didn't fare too well.
Yeah. So if you're thinking under 50%, 48% approval ratings, not so good for the president. Yeah. Try being Congress. Mm-hmm. And that is 15% approval rating there. So, yeah. Not so good. So overall, as an institution, yeah, very, very low, and that's very much in line with what we were seeing with the national polls. But, you know, actually in the spring of 2010, we actually found for our survey 14% approval rating for Congress. So it's actually not that unusual. The high for our survey was the spring of 2009 when we were very optimistic. Just overall was a whopping 39% approval rating. So, we don't like Congress very much.
Yeah, do we like Democrats or Republicans any more or less in Congress?
Well, we actually like them more than we like Congress as a whole. So while we've got 15% approval rating for Congress as a whole, Democrats in Congress have 36% approval. Republicans in Congress have a 32% overall rating. And then the Republicans in the Congress who favor Tea Party policies also have a 33% approval rating. So, and of course, that's very, those are very polarized, obviously, by party, but it's much easier to sort of hate the overall institution, but like our party, and then particularly to like our own member of Congress that represents us, which is also a very typical trend. 40% approval rating of our own member of Congress.
Yeah, that happens a lot, and they're all bums except my guy or my gal.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, that actually has a name, the Fennow effect, which goes way back to a book by Richard Fennow in 1978, where he sort of studied this question of, you know, how do our representatives really represent us, and sort of he came up to that idea that called it home style, because they come to the constituency, we see them, we voted for them. So, and it's much easier to hate an institution than it is to hate an actual person. So I think a lot of those reasons are why we typically see that trend. One of the things that's interesting about that, though, is it's quite low, and that is that our approval ratings is for our own member of Congress is only about 40%, and that's, we're seeing that similar trend nationally. That's quite low. So we're not, relative to sort of history, not that happy with even our own members of Congress. And there's some, like the Pew organization actually asked, do you think your own member of Congress should be reelected? And 38% said they should not, which was a high for their survey. And is, over history, tends to be correlated with actually a little bit lower incumbency advantage during midterm elections. So this actually could, you know, if it sticks, it could actually come to bite them in the midterm elections that we have coming up.
Mm-hmm. Well, what about our senators, Senator Baldwin and Johnson?
Mm-hmm. It depends on how you look at it. So first of all, one thing that we have to look at is the not heard of. So of Senator Ron Johnson, 19% had not heard of him. And then for Tammy Baldwin, 8% had not heard of her. And that's a significant difference there. And, you know, Johnson has been in the Senate longer, whereas obviously Tammy Baldwin just went through an election. So that could be part of what that issue is. When we take out those not heard ofs and not sure, so we're just looking at those who actually know this person and have an opinion, We have an approval rating for Ron Johnson of 48% compared to a Baldwin approval rating of 52%, which, you know, taking the error rate of the survey is not different statistically.
Yeah, well, so what do you make of all this, Wendy? That it's just, I'm kind of shaking my head. I don't know.
Yeah, obviously, I think we are seeing a higher approval rating for our own particular senators. So when we actually put them by name, we're seeing, you know, somewhat higher approval ratings, of course, than the overall approval rating of Congress. And again, that's not that unusual. A lot of it is, of course, tied to the shutdown. And, of course, we saw that correlation with the number one problem being that, you know, Congress in particular is basically dysfunctional.
Yeah, and it also just, to me, shows that we just have such a political divide in this state, too. If we're seeing these, you know, kind of 50-50 results with diametrically opposed politicians in terms of their ideology, that if we think, you know, if 50% think Ron Johnson's doing a good job and 50% think Tammy Baldwin's doing a good job, we're divided.
Yeah, and we really found that in our general party identification of the respondents. 34% of them said they were Democrats, 33% said they were Republicans, and 28% said that they were independents. And that really is why we're a swing state, is that the Democrats and Republicans are so evenly divided that depending on who gets up to vote for a particular day, you know, that could make a difference in the outcome of the election is really the galvanizing the party for turnout. But then also the independents, and, you know, they tend to be pretty moderate. They consider themselves, the independents, slightly conservative, but for the most part moderate. And they're pretty cynical. I mean, they're actually more cynical than the partisans. And when you look at sort of all the questions put together, and I guess, you know, I think that's not surprising that they feel like they're not really being represented at this point because, you know, the candidates themselves are so polarized. And then certainly when we look at, you know, the approval ratings of the different senators based on party, you know, there is, yeah, as you say, a huge divide there. And there's, you know, we asked actually strongly support and strongly disapprove of them. And you can definitely see that by party, is that, you know, 37% of Democrats strongly disapprove of Ron Johnson. That's about 36% of Republicans strongly disapprove of Tammy Baldwin.
We will get some callers in on our conversation coming up in just a moment. People who want to talk about the problems facing the nation and the job that our elected representatives and leaders are doing. We didn't ask this question, but do you think that your Congress member deserves re-election? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We are talking about the latest results in the just-released Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey. Talking with Wendy Scattergood, who is our analyst from the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Wisconsin residents have a slightly more negative than positive opinion of President Barack Obama, according to the latest Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College survey. And we have an overwhelmingly bad review of Congress. We are talking with political scientist Wendy Scattergood about the views of those polled regarding our elected representatives and the problems facing the nation. Let's take some calls. We have Dave in Menominee who's waiting. Hi, Dave.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to bring up how we've heard for 30 years, how we've heard from the Republicans that government can't work, government cannot do anything right, and we've seen how they've been able to undermine and stick a broomstick in the spokes of the economy by, you know, things like the debt ceiling that we've had recently, in the past, in 2011, the super committee debacle, Each one of these times, it affected our economy, and it affected the approval rating of the politicians. And I just think, you know, Republicans are using dysfunction as a weapon against this president. They're creating uncertainty. They go ahead and do this, this athletics, and they create the uncertainty, and then they come in front of the cameras and tell us about the uncertainty and how it's terrible for our economy.
Yeah.
So I believe after all these years, they have been doing everything they can to keep our economy from rebounding. And after all this is done, when the president is done with his term, they will come to the cameras and tell us about how the policies of this Democrat have affected our economy when they've been undermining it for 5 years.
Dave, thanks very much. Lots to react to. Professor Scattergood, what's your response?
Yeah, well, I think it's true. But, of course, you know, the Republicans are going to say the opposite, that it's the Democrats that are creating the uncertainty by having so much government intervention in the market. What we do know is that, of course, businesses and even consumers, we've been looking at the sort of the consumer index from Gallup during the shutdown period, and that's been equally affected. So there's some question about sort of Christmas spending with the uncertainty. And, yeah, it's going to be a partisan divide as to who's causing that uncertainty.
Did ask, and we can talk briefly about it now. We'll go into more depth tomorrow after 7. We were going to talk a little bit on whether we blame Democrats or Republicans more for this whole shutdown and debt ceiling debate. Do you have those results handy?
I do, yeah. Slightly more for Republicans in Congress, and that is 42% blamed the Republicans in Congress for the partial shutdown. 34% blamed the president and the Democrats in Congress, and then 23% volunteered that it was both equally.
Yeah. So what does that tell you?
Yeah. Well, that's the polarization that we're seeing in that. And you know, I was kind of looking back at some of the Senator Cole and Senator Feingold, and of course, Senator Feingold obviously lost his seat as an incumbent, which is very unusual. But prior to that, you know, we had seen very, very positive approval ratings. Senator Cole, for example, when we in 2006, we asked his approval rating was 70%.
Wow.
So So I mean, we definitely are in a time period, and as Professor Jacobs earlier referenced, you know, this is not the only time of polarization. You know, we just have to say Civil War, that had to have been polarized. But I mean, this is our current period of this. It's certainly a lot more polarized than it was, you know, 10 years, 15 years ago.
David in Madison is with us now. Hi, David.
I think both parties are messed up. I think years ago we had lobbyists in Washington that would look after business in America, you might say, or, you know, build a plant in my state. What you have now is you have lobbyists from all around the world, and there's so much money there salting everything. And I think when these clowns get in there, all good intentions go out the window as far as to get them elected. Once they're there, and then they see the perks, which is, you know, they exempt themselves from everything that gets passed for us to follow. They exempt themselves from Obamacare, for one. They have, like Nancy Pelosi, $300,000 a booze bill. I mean, she has her own private jet. If the American people realize just how well these people are living and how much they're siphoning off from our tax dollars, on both sides, they're both guilty.
Yeah. So, did we see that kind of sentiment in the survey?
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of love throwing hands up in the air. And if the caller's still there, I'd like to ask. I mean, do you think that could be solved by the rise of a third party, or whether once they get in there, they're just going to do the same old, same old?
You know what I think should do? I think instead of electing people, you should have a draft. Okay, a draft. Will serve 2 years in Washington and represent where you live. And then after 2 years, you go back to your... I think it should be a draft.
Your draft, David? No, I'm just kidding. I just said you're drafted.
Your turn, yeah.
Well, is what in our final minute on this topic, Wendy, is a third party in the works? Maybe even the Tea Party becoming the third party?
Yeah, well, a couple things about that is that, first of all, I think the Tea Party support overall, what we found in national surveys, is a little bit down. But on the other hand, this sort of notion of we need a third party, that's on the rise. I'm sort of reminded by the sort of the framers debate with what the caller was talking about. You know, Jefferson, of course, while not exactly a draft, he definitely thought, you know, it should be a citizen legislature. People should just say, yep, it's my turn. I got to step up and be a representative. And it's, of course, why they thought, some of the framers actually thought we should have term limits to make sure that exactly what sort of the caller was talking about is that they're not too long in the Capitol away from their people and, you know, having these sorts of things that the caller was talking about. So it reminded me very much of the framers' debate.
We will talk more about our results from the Wisconsin Public Radio St. Norbert College Survey, the Wisconsin Survey, on our views on the Affordable Care Act coming up in our next hour. Tomorrow, by the way, we will talk about our views regarding our state officials, including we ask the question, does Governor Scott Walker deserve re-election or not? And we'll talk more about that tomorrow at this time. I'm Joy Cardine with Wendy Scattergood. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.